الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we had discussed a number of masail, different issues still related to the issue of zakat, urud, at-tijara, with regards to paying the zakat on the items that are prepared for sale in business and trade and commerce. And from the previous class, we have seen that the zakat urud at-tijara fi qimatiha, that the zakat on these items for sale is in the value of those items. Is in the value of those items. So if a person, he has money he's doing business with, or items and money, and that reaches the nisab of gold or silver, whichever one is lowest. So we say today silver, and if the value of his business and his items reaches the nisab, then he will begin the hawl. Then he will begin the hawl in this manner, whether he has the cash or whether he has the items that he's prepared to sell, he's doing business with, or both of them together, they reach the hawl. They reach the nisab of the silver. And in our days, then the hawl will begin for him. If he has that nisab in his possession and his business for 1 year, now it's an obligation for him to pay zakat on those items. So here the point is the benefit that zakat urud tijara fi qimatiha, that the zakat on these items will be in its value. It will be in their value. What do the people of knowledge mean by it's in their value? Meaning in their value of the price that they're worth on the market that day, if they were sold that day. Not the price the businessman, he will purchase them for, or that he purchased them for whenever he first bought them, but rather the price and the value of those items if he sold them on that day, on the day he's going to pay his zakat, on the day it's obligatory. So he will see how much they're worth. If he sold all of this together that day, how much would he have? And this will be the zakat that he pays on that. This will be the zakat that he pays on that. Also, in our previous class, we've seen that a person who sells wholesale, he will calculate the value according to wholesale. And the person who sells individually, he will calculate the value according to individually. Any the price if he sold it that day. Those people who sell wholesale price, if he sold his items wholesale that day, how much would he make? This is the qima. This is the qima. This is the value of the item. The zakat is here. The person who sells items individually, if he sold all of those items today individually, how much would he make? That's the qima. So that's the qima. That's the value of those items. This is where the zakat is. Somebody who does both of them. Maybe sometimes he sells in wholesale and other times he sells individually. The people of knowledge, they mention to look at which one he does most. Which one is the majority of his wealth coming from? Are the majority of his sales coming from wholesale, or are they coming from retail? Are they coming from individual sale and the likes like this? So then he will judge according to that. Then the obligation to estimate the value, the qima, will be according to this affair here. And likewise, from the benefits important issues as well in the previous class, that the changing of the wealth, or the items, or from the item to item, or from wealth to item, money to item to money, back and forth, this does not stop the whole. So long as all of these items and this wealth is intended to do business with. So a person who has money or items that reach the nisab, the whole begins for him. If he sold those items and for money, he's still doing business with that money. Then the hawl continues. That money has the same hawl as the original items. Then if he bought more items, different types of items, first time he bought phones, for example, now he buys the car. The hawl of the card is the hawl of the original money, the money that he bought the phones with. So the hawl began whenever he started the business with his money that he had. Then he bought phones. The hawl of the phones is the hawl of the money. He sold the phones, got new money. The new money, the hawl of the new money is the hawl of the first money. Then he bought with the new money a car to sell it likewise, in order to sell it for profit. Then the hawl of that car is the same. Is the same no matter where he bought it in. Because what is intended from the phones and what is intended from the money and what is intended from the car is business that he began with. So it began with the original hole whenever his business value reached the nisab. We understand this affair. As for if any time during the whole, the value of his items or his money, then his lump sum that he's working with, his capital, falls under the nisab, then his hawl stops. Then his hawl stops. It's important to understand when we're talking about the hawl because and the nisab, because this is going to determine whether the obligation of zakat is on his money or not. Whether the obligation of the zakat is on his money or not. So if he reached the nisab, the obligation begins. And now he's counting the whole. So long as he's in the whole and the whole continues, then the obligation of zakat remains on that money and on that wealth. The obligation, yani the duty to Allah, yani the right of zakat, the pillar of Islam, is on that individual's wealth. And it continues. But if something happened, it fell under the nisab, now it cuts off and the obligation falls off of him. So it's important to know one's duty, whether it's obligatory upon him to perform that or whether it's not. So that way he doesn't fall into hardship or difficulty, or he does not fall into negligence and forgetfulness and the likes. Because if he's negligent, maybe he has an obligation to pay zakat and he forgot or he was unaware. And also if he didn't know, maybe he's carrying himself, believing he has to pay zakat on this wealth and going through this difficulty and hardship, and he doesn't. Rather, the situation in his circumstances ease, and there's no obligation upon him. So the issue of the nisab and the issue of the hold and how it changes and when it changes, when it stops, and when it will continue, is very important for the people who are involved in the likes of these affairs in business and in trade and so on and so forth. In business and in trade and so on and so forth. So in our previous class, we had stopped in the discussion about the niyyah, about the intention specifically with regards to urud tijara, with regards to items and the likes that are prepared for business, sell, and trade. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the one who purchases items to sell them, he purchases items, whatever it may be, and his intention from that is to do business. He purchased them in order to do business with them. If these items, they reach the nisab whenever he purchased them, then the holy begins for him immediately. Even if he kept them in, for example, he bought a whole bunch of phones. And then he got busy and he left them in his car, for example, in his trunk. He didn't pull them out months later to start actually doing business with them. But whenever he purchased them with the intention to sell them and to do business with them. The holy for this man on those items begin on that time. The obligation of counting the whole begin from the time that he purchased them. So a person, he purchases items with the intention to sell them and to do business with them. And the items that reach the nisab, the whole begins for him at the time of purchase. Whether he puts them out for sale, whether he now announces that they're for sale or not. We understand that? Because he purchased them and they came into his possession with this intention. So the origin with regards to these items is that they're for sale. The origin with regards to these items in this person's possession is that they're for sale. So therefore, that this principle here is applied. As for somebody who had the likes of these items, but he did not intend to sell them. He purchased them or they came into his possession and he did not intend to sell them. For example, any cars or phones and the likes like that, he has them. He has them in his possession and he obtained them and he intended to use them. Or he obtained them and he never, upon obtaining them and gaining possession of them, he didn't intend to sell them or do business with them. Now this one here, because the origin is that there's no zakat there. Because these items here, again, are the origin is that there's no zakat in the likes of these items. So therefore the people of knowledge, as they mentioned, if now later on he changed his intention, now he decides to sell them or to do business with them, now the whole will not begin for him until he places them for sale. Until he announces that they're for sale, until he puts them on arf, and he on the marf, and he puts in the for sale sign on it, for example, or he announces to the people that they're for sale, or he puts the property on the market, so on and so forth. At that time, the intention will begin. Shaykh Suleiman, he mentioned, "Hafidhahullah, an-niyyatu mujarrada la tanqulu an al-asli fi bab al-mu'amalat." The mere intention only will not remove an issue from its fundamental principle in the chapter of transactions and dealings. Similar like that in the issue of talaq. For example, somebody in his heart, he had the intention to divorce his wife, but he never said anything. Does divorce occur? Yeah. It does not occur. He had the intention though. Somebody might say, "Innamal a'malu binniyat." That's the hadith. But here this is the issue of mu'amalat. So the mu'amalat, the buying and the selling and the trading and the contracts and the likes like this, an intention here is not sufficient to remove the asl that he's upon. The asl that's his wife. The asl that item is not for sale. So in order to remove that, it takes more than an intention. They'll say here the intention is not an actual niyyah, jazima. It would be ahem. Yani that he's thinking about it. It's crossing his mind and the likes like this, so it's different. So it's different here in the chapter of buying and selling and trading and contracts. Buying and selling and trading and contracts. Shaykh Suleiman, he said, خُذُوهُ ضَابِطًا فِي بَابِ الْمُعَامَلَاتِ. He says, take it as a principle to follow in the chapter of transactions and dealings and the likes. النِّيَّ الْمُجَرَّدَ لَا تَنْقُلُ عَنِ الْأَصْلِ لَا تَنْقُلُ عَنِ الْأَصْلِ فِي في باب المعاملات that the نية مجرد أو نية بمجردها لن تنقر عن الأصل في باب يعني المعاملات. You have to add along with that action. There has to be along with that action. So if a person, he had the intention, he told himself, يعني he's at work, for example, he got into a fight with his wife, and we're not in the chapter of divorce, but just so we can understand the principle. He got into a fight with his wife on the way home. He's heated and he's hot and he's telling himself, you know, when I get home, he's going to divorce her right away. First thing he's going to say is he's going to divorce. Whenever he gets home, he sees her crying and he has pity on her and she's apologized, so on and so forth. And then he didn't divorce her. So would the divorce occur? It would not occur. So long as he did not pronounce that. So long as he did not say that. So long as he did not initiate that physically. Then it did not occur. Because this is a type of a transaction and it's a contract and dealings with the people. So therefore the mere intention will not remove the asl or change the fundamental foundation of the situation. Likewise here in the urud tijara. So the person who has a car, he purchased a car to use it, he purchased a phone to use it, he has different items and the likes like this for his own personal use. Maybe, for example, he purchased a whole bunch of computer equipment, a lot of it, but he used it for his business. He used it for his business. So there's no zakat on that. Later on, something happens and he decides to sell it all. He decides to sell it all. When will the hole begin for him? Whenever he put it on the market. Whenever he put it on the market. Whenever he put it on. So at the time of the intention, it doesn't start the hole for him. What does that mean, it doesn't start the hole for him? It would not be obligatory for him to count the year down. The zakat will not become obligatory on these items yet. So if he says, you know, for example, this week, you know what, inshallah, I'm going to sell these items. And then it's not till next month he gets around to it where actually it's possible for him to put them on the market. And then he puts them on the market. Then at that time, the haul begins for him. At that time, the haul begins for him. And Allah knows best. And this is the position of the Jumhur ulama. Similar like this person here, somebody who got some wealth without his own will, and without his own intention, without his own effort, like the one who got some wealth from inheritance, for example. The inheritance that comes to an individual, whether he likes it or not, it's his portion, that his right, and it will come into his possession by the decree and the command of Allah, by the legislation. So this wealth, for example, if he knew that it's coming for him, his portion, and he had the intention, for example, he knows that if his father dies, for example, he's going to get a portion of land, and he wants to sell it. Even this intention here is not going to make it from urud tijara until he puts it on, and it comes into his possession, and he puts it on the market. And he puts it on the market because this item here came to him without his choice. So it came to him in that manner as if it was one of those items that he had without the intention to sell it. So here this one likewise takes the intention and the application, the initiation of the action as well. So this is some important affairs as well, the people of knowledge, they mention with regards to this issue. We discussed before the issue of the sharika, whenever there are people working together. And in the point from this one is that the scholars, they say, الْخُلْطَةُ لَا تُؤَثِرُ فِي غَيْرِ بَهِيمَةِ الْأَنْعَامِ. The majority of the scholars, they're of this position. الْخُلْطَةُ, mixing people's wealth together, it does not affect the zakat and the ruling of the zakat in other than the animals, the cattle. If people have sheep together, now that they're mixed together, now this would be considered. If they have camels together, also there must be other conditions present. But this is whenever the wealth will be combined together in order to reach nisab. This and with regards to the animals. As for other than that, then it's not considered. So everyone is considered according to himself. So if there's two people who went in business together, both of them have half the nisab. Both of them own half, the wealth that they have is half of a nisab. So whenever they put their money together, they have nisab. Does their business have to pay zakat? No. Their business doesn't pay zakat because you look at each individual owner as himself. So the obligation of zakat is not upon them. Two people, they own half nisab. He has half of a nisab and he has half of a nisab. And then they're working together. A year goes by and neither they didn't make any profit. It was not beneficial. Yani they just broke even. They broke even. So do they have to pay zakat? No, they don't have to pay zakat. And neither one of them reached the nisab. So you don't look at their money together. You don't put the partners together. Rather, you put the partners, you look at them individually, at their individual wealth. So it could possibly be in a circumstance where partners are together and they're doing business together, and one of them is obligatory for him to count the whole and to pay zakat, and another one it is not. And another one it is not. So to be aware of this affair, likewise. To be aware of this affair, likewise. Also, the people of knowledge, they mentioned, for example, إِذَا اجْتَمَعَ فِي الْمَالِ سَبَبَانِ لِوُجُوبِ الزَّكَاتِ. إِذَا اجْتَمَعَ فِي الْمَالِ سَبَبَانِ لِوُجُوبِ الزَّكَاتِ. If two reasons for the obligation of zakat is found in one particular type of wealth. Two reasons for the obligation of zakat is found in one type of wealth. For example, a person, he has 40 sheep. 40 sheep that graze the land freely. And if the sheep that graze the land freely, they're called sa'ima. And these are the ones that you have to pay zakat on. They graze the land freely without any effort from the owner. Yani for most of the year, all of the year. So if he has 40 sheep, then he has to pay one sheep if the whole goes by. The nisab is 40, correct? But this person, he's not buying them for the reason of having these animals for meat or for other reasons, yani, or the likes like this for his farm. Rather, he's buying them because he sells them. He's buying them because he sells them. So now the behematul an'am, they're not from the zakat behematul an'am because he bought them to sell them. So now they're urud tijara. So they're different. It's different here. The one who has the zakat on the animals, he has to pay. He has animals. Not this. Now he's not buying and selling animals. He's raising animals. He's taking care of the animals. He's milking the animals. He's getting meat from the animals. Whatever the case may be, or other things like that. Whatever the case may be, he's using the animals for these affairs right here. And either grazing, he slaughters them for food, or he's using the milk and the likes like this. Then the one who reaches 40 from his sheep, he'll pay one sheep a year. And until he reaches 121, then he'll pay two. And on and on and on like this, it continues. That's the one that's the zakat of the cattle. As for the one who purchased the cattle, even if he purchased the nisab, but he purchased them to sell them, now they're from urud tijara. Now they're items that are for sale. So we have the original reason to make zakat in them, and that is that they're animals and they reached the nisab. And we have another reason to make zakat in them, and that is that they're items that are for sale. So what do we do now? This is the issue. Many of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that you will make the zakat according to the original reason. Yani the original reason why there's zakat in there, there's a consensus about that affair. And the issue of the zakat on this issue here, there's a consensus about that. So therefore, he will look at the original reason, and plus because that's the origin. Others, they mention, no, they'll look at the new reason because it's changed from the asl. So now we'll go to the new reason because this is the intention now. And Allah knows best, Shaykh Suleiman, he mentioned here a principle. He says, Al-Qa'ida fi zakat, an-nadharu ila halzi ahli zakat. That the principle in the chapter of zakat, yani, is that you look to what is most beneficial for the people of zakat. So which one will be most beneficial for the people of zakat? This is the one to follow. So whichever one is more beneficial for the poor people, that's what we'll follow. So the majority of the time, the most beneficial aspect for the poor people will be urud tijara. Yani will be that, yani, to take the zakat from this manner, to take the zakat from this manner. We should know that one, he will never have to pay zakat for two reasons. He will never pay zakat twice on one thing in one year. Yani he will never, for example, if he has animals that reach the nisab and he's selling them, he will not pay zakat for the animal, like give one sheep and then pay zakat for the business. He's going to pay one or the other one. He's not going to pay zakat twice on that affair. Either he's going to pay the zakat of the animals, or he's going to pay zakat of the business. He's not going to be required to pay the zakat of both of them. We understand that? So then from here, you look at the one that is most beneficial. Also, if one of them, for example, if you looked at it from this aspect, the zakat is going to fall off. And if you look at it from this aspect, the zakat is going to be established. Like if you look at it from this aspect, then like for example, somebody has 30, 35 sheep. From the aspect of the animals, does he have the nisab? No, he doesn't have the nisab. But these sheep, they're worth maybe, for example, $1,000 or more. These sheep, they're worth, for example, $1,000 or more. So if you look at the animals, and from the aspect of zakat of the animals, there's no zakat. And if you look at the aspect of the business, there's zakat. So here you're going to take the one with zakat, because this is the most rightful for the poor people. This is the most rightful for the poor people. Even if you looked at, for example, this guy, he reaches zakat, he gives two sheep. And then you look at the benefit of two sheep for the poor people, and then you look at the value of all of these sheep that he has, which one is more beneficial? The value is going to be more beneficial, so then he'll keep it here. And then he'll make the zakat according to the items that are for sale. So we have here in this particular wealth, there's gathered two reasons to make zakat. One of them is the fact that they have reached that they're animals that reach the nisab, and the other one is the fact that they're prepared for sale. So what do? We look at the one that's most beneficial for the poor people. The majority of the time is going to be for the commerce and trade. The zakat according to the law of the commerce and trade. This is what someone he will do. We understand this part here? Okay. After this, for example, if both of them reached the nisab, both of them, like for example, if you count them, their heads, they reached the nisab. And then if you count the value reached the nisab. So which one do we pick? The one that's more beneficial. Arul al-tijara. So how do we find a moderate way in this, or how do we understand that? This is the issue here. This is the clarification of that. يعني القاعدة في باب الزكاة النظر إلى الحظ للفقراء. That one, to look at that which is most beneficial for the poor people. To look at that which is most beneficial for the poor people. For the poor people, and Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. طيب, with regards to that issue, we look at that which is most beneficial for the poor people, right? In general, in the chapter of zakat. طيب, what will we say about the hadith? The first hadith here that we will study, inshallah, the hadith of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, narrating on Muhath, radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him to Yemen. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned beginning with the shahadatain, and then the salat, and then the zakat. He said, فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوكَ لِذَلِكَ فَعَلِمْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ فَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ فَتُرَدُّ عَلَى فُقَرَائِهِمْ وَإِيَّاكَ وَكَرَائِمَ أَمْوَالِهِمْ وَإِيَّاكَ وَكَرَائِمَ أَمْوَالِهِمْ وَاتَّقِي دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ. He said, and whenever, if you take their wealth for zakat, then be careful from taking their most precious wealth. And beware and fear the supplication of the one who is oppressed. And he telling him that it's an obligation for him to tell them that there's zakat on their wealth, and that he is going to gather their wealth. But whenever he does that, warning him from taking their most precious wealth. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned him from taking their most precious wealth. And in that warning, he said, you should watch out and be careful from the supplication of the oppressed. And if you take their wealth in zakat, and you oppress them in that by taking the most valuable thing they have, the most beloved of their wealth to them, and they supplicate against you, then you should watch out for this and fear Allah. So therefore, with regards to paying the zakat, it's not allowed for those who take the zakat for the ruler to take the most precious wealth. If the man, he has sheep, for example, he will not go to the best of the sheep. He will not go to, it's not allowed for him to look at the fattest one, the healthiest one, the strongest one, the most beautiful one, and take that for the zakat. That's not allowed. إِيَّاكَ وَكَرَائِمْ عَمْوَارِهِمْ. This is from the justice of the religion. Also, it's not allowed for the one giving the zakat to give the lowly one. وَلَا تَيَمَّمُوا الْخَبِيثَ مِنْهُ تُنْفِقُونَ. Allah, he says in Surah Al-Baqarah, do not go to the lowly wealth, yani the worst of your wealth, and then spend from that. So rather, what is an obligation is to take the moderate wealth. This is an obligation. an obligation for somebody who has to pay zakat on his animals, for example. It's not obligatory for him to take the best of his animals and give it in zakat. And it's not allowed for him to take the worst of his animals and give it in zakat. What would he do? It's an obligation upon him to choose from the moderate of his animals and give from them the zakat. It's allowed for him to give more. If he wanted to give the best, he can. But it's not obligatory. So now we have this understanding. And then we have the other understanding of the principle, that you're going to do whatever is most beneficial for the poor people. How do we gather between these affairs? With me? So we said the principle in the Bab of Zakat is to do what? To look for that which is most beneficial for the poor people. And then we looked at the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, watch out, be careful, don't take their most valuable wealth. La ta'arud, sah? But it could appear that way. Let's fix it. With regards to the hadith, these people, they already have to pay zakat. These people, the zakat is upon them. So what is this is referring to, they don't have to, that you don't take the best of their wealth. Whenever the obligation of zakat is upon them, you don't take from their wealth the best of that. So that's the point with regards to the hadith. If the zakat became obligatory upon him, then it's obligatory to give from the moderate of his wealth, not the best of his wealth, not the most precious of his wealth, the one that's most he loves the most. He doesn't have to give that one. He has to give the moderate one. That's the obligation. As for the principle, we look at that which is most beneficial for the poor people. We look at here now, one of them doesn't reach the nisab and the other one does. So which one do we choose? The one that reaches the nisab, so that there's zakat there. For example, both of them reach the nisab. One of them is more beneficial for the other. Which one do we choose? The one that is more beneficial than the other. That's the point. That's the difference between the two. So it's not oppressing. There's no oppression there but in this principle. And if we look at it, you say, this man, he has wealth. If we look at his wealth from this aspect, it doesn't reach the nisab. If we look at his wealth from this aspect, it does reach the nisab. We say, upon him is zakat. Upon him is zakat. To give the moderate of his wealth. We look at his wealth, both of them, they reach the nisab. And then we see, well, this one is more beneficial for the poor people than this one. Then we say, we look at it from this aspect here. And then even from then, he's going to give the moderate of that. So this is from looking at it in a different aspect, and Allah knows best. Taib, another issue: a person who's going to pay his zakat from his items that he has to sell. Whenever it's time for him to pay zakat, will he pay the zakat? What will he do? He will count the value of everything he has if he sold it that day, along with the wealth that he has and the debts that are included and the likes like this, and then he will mount that up and divide it by 40 and pay the zakat according to the sum or that which any equals, any that which comes from that. Tayyib, so is it allowed for him any to pay, for example, that value and the items that he has? For example, somebody who has a store and he sells rice and he has to pay zakat. Can he give zakat from rice? Or is he going to have to pay money? You understand? Can he pay the zakat from the items that he has? I like giving them items. So I owe this much zakat. These items are worth this much money. Take them. Or is he going to have to pay the cash, the value of that in money? The majority of the scholars, they say that the zakat is not allowed any except in the qima, in the value, that it's going to be money. Al-jumhur zakatu al-urudi yajibu an takuna mala. The majority of the scholars, they say the zakat of this wealth here is obligation to be money. So he will add up the value of his items, and then he will give the money, the value of that in money. For example, for us today, in dollars. In al-urudi tijara. He will give money. So if he sells all these different items, he'll count the value, as we have discussed before, and then however that much, we'll say all of his items equals, for example, $5,000. Then he'll divide that by 40 and he'll pay the zakat from that in cash. and money, Yani, and money, and money. You understand? And money. It would not be allowed for him to say, for example, if he says, oh, he added all of his wealth and then he divided by 40 and he says, okay, I have $1,000 in zakat. And here's $1,000 in cell phones, for example. He's a cell phone guy. Here's $1,000 worth of cell phones. He gives him one old iPhone, for example, like this. Huh? That's what it would be, right? Two iPhones. Yeah, and it may be used. So he would not be able to do that. He have to give money. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he mentioned that it would be allowed. As I said again, the majority of the scholars, they said no. And this is the closest, and this is what is best. And a person, if he did that, he wouldn't have any doubts about his zakat. But Shaykh al-Islam, he mentioned, rahimahullah, that it would be permissible in certain circumstances whenever it's in the best interest of the poor people. If there was a circumstance whenever it's in the best interest of the poor people that they receive the items, and these particular items are something that is like, it's known, and it doesn't, they're not like changing, it's not two different types of rice. It's not two different types of items, it's one item, and all the zakat is in one item like this, and it's very clear, and it's beneficial for the poor person, and it's in his best interest, at this time it will be allowed, and Allah knows best. Other than that, it's not allowed. So the origin then, we say that it's not allowed. It's not allowed except to give the money. Except to give the money. If the poor people were in a certain circumstance or situation, whenever it's more beneficial for them to receive a particular item the individual has, then this would be allowed, and Allah knows best. Then this would be allowed, and Allah knows best. Alhamdulillah. These are the issues that are the most well-known or important issues with regards to this affair. Any questions? Now we have time for question. But preferably easy question. If it's a hard question, we're going to delay it till after class. Or if it's something that takes a long time, it's something that's going to be beneficial for everyone.
You cleared everything.
Alhamdulillah. The ones who want to make zakat al-fitr, some people zakat al-fitr. This is a benefit. Before the zakat is two zakat. We have zakat mal with zakat bedin. The zakat that's on the money and the zakat that's on the body. So the zakat that's on the mal, this is the pillar of Islam as zakat. And the zakat that's on the body, that's according to the body, this is called zakat al-fitr. So zakat al-fitr, the brother, he mentioned the benefit. The scholars, they said that this one has to be from the type of food. It's not allowed to be wealth. It's not allowed to be wealth. So similar, for example, in the zakat al-urud, it's not allowed to be the item. It has to be money. It has to be money. And he said, and they agree about that. the same one who say that, they say that. So what's the difference here? Why you change it here and you change it there? Like this. The point is, Danny, that you follow the law. You follow the legislation. Allah, He knows best. Well, and His legislation is perfect. Now, so the zakat al-fitr, this chapter is also here in this book as well, and in the chapter of zakat in the end. We discuss that, inshallah, in detail. So this is a benefit. Tayyib, I have a question. A man, he's got, we say again, for example, the nisab is $400 in our example. Nobody should think that it's like, if somebody has to pay zakat, he needs to find out for sure what it is. Because maybe it changed, maybe, in our examples, these are examples. Huh? So, in the example, the zakat is $400. Somebody, he has, for example, $300 he's doing business with. Is there a zakat on that? He takes his $300 and he buys some bottles of perfume. The value of them is $600. He takes $300, he goes wholesale, he goes to the wholesale man, and he buys the perfume, he gives him $300, but he plans on at least doubling his money. And many times with perfume, you will triple or quadruple your money, depending on how you sell it. So if you buy it wholesale. So now his items are worth at least $600. At least he's going to double his money for sure if he sells it, and that's what his plan is. So now does he have zakat?
Yes, he does.
So he started out with 300. His cash is 300, no zakat. But he purchased items to sell that reached the nisab. He purchased items for sale that reached the nisab. You understand that?
Right.
So now his business reaches nisab because you go according to the value of them if you sell them. So then he has those items for 1 year from the time he purchased them, right? Then he will have to pay zakat on them. Yeah, you understand? And also, again, I think maybe to help clarify from yesterday, for example, somebody, he started out with $5,000. He started out with $5,000. And then he purchased this thing, and he sold that, and then he got money. And then he purchased this thing, and he got money. And all throughout the year, it started with $5,000. In the end of the year, he includes that money that he began with and all of his profit. He what does he count whenever the whole comes? The money he began with?
The 5,000.
The money he began with and all of his profit and everything that he has,
the value of that,
all of it together. We wouldn't say, oh no, the 5,000, no. The 5,000 and the profit from the 5,000 and also all the items that one has for sale. All of the items that one has for sale, even if he bought those items yesterday. Right? Even if he bought those items yesterday, because it's all from the same money. So the whole goes according to the original one. So he'll make zakat on all of it. He wouldn't exclude the 5,000 or only make zakat on the 5,000. On the 5,000 that he began with and the profit that he has made from that. And all the other items he has, well, that's included as well because it's intended profit from that as well. That part is clear. في غير بهيمة الأنعام. In Behemoth and Anam, we'll talk about that inshallah. If they have the same pastures and they leave and they come from the same place and they have the same drink and the likes like this, then it will. Then you count it. You count it. If somebody has this many, he has that many, and they reach nisab, you have nisab. If they have the same pasture, the masrah and the mar'a, and a number of other affairs, there's conditions that they must all share. These animals all share in these particular conditions in the grazing. And in the eating and the likes like that, then the khulta to athir. But if not, it doesn't.
Well, it won't be a subject,
inshallah. Huh?
That would be a different subject.
I was going to leave that up to you guys. My main goal was to focus on that which is most important. Any from these affairs. No doubt this zakat is important on the animals too, and likewise on. So what do we have left? We have the animals and we have ما تخرجه الأرض. Right. If you want to do the same thing with these two items as well, these two aspects, these two chapters, we will do the same thing.
I think it would be nice.
It'll be nice. So we'll talk about the zakat of the ibl and the bakr and the ghanam in a bit of detail, and like that, inshallah. And then we'll talk about that before we go back to the book. Taib, if we need to, that's good. Especially if some of us, we have the likes of these affairs where we know people, then no doubt it's important. And it's beneficial to carry that knowledge, huh?
Yes.
Fard kifayah. تقوم بفرض كفاية الله أكبر.
A lot of things that we used to do and it was a lot of Muslim.
Uh-huh.
Points and Alhamdulillah we.
Alhamdulillah.
Get it for me.
Tune it up.
Yes.
Jazakallah khaira. So then, inshallah, next week we start with zakat behemat al-anam. Next week we start zakat behemat al-anam. And then after that, zakat ma tukhrijuhu al-ard. So next week we start zakat of the animals. And then when we finish that, we do that which comes from the earth, from the crops and the likes, and also the rikaz comes from the earth and the ma'adin. All of these is included in that aspect. So, and then we continue like that. All 4 days, huh? And then we finish maybe 1 week or a week and a half, 2 weeks. That way we knock that out. Kind of stay focused because this is something you need. Yeah, it needs some focus on. So we agree upon that. So next week we'll go through that. Any Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe we finish next week, inshallah. Or after that. And then we go back to our reading and our regular schedule. Then we go back to our reading and our regular schedule. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.